And we're going to open with a prayer. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come tonight giving you praise and honor tonight, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for this opportunity you have given to us to come in and study your word tonight, dear Heavenly Father. And we just thank you for the word tonight. Pray that we would have an open heart to receive your word tonight as a message being taught, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for each and everyone that is here tonight, dear Heavenly Father. We just ask that you would just continue blessing them and watching over them, dear Heavenly Father. And we pray for the ones that are not here tonight, dear Heavenly Father. You know the reasons, dear Heavenly Father. We pray for them also, dear Heavenly Father. And whatever their needs are, dear Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would just grant it to them, dear Heavenly Father. We have the assurance, dear Heavenly Father, anything that we ask according to your will, dear Heavenly Father, you hear our humble cry, dear Heavenly Father. So we just say thank you tonight, dear Heavenly Father, for being our God, a loving God, dear Heavenly Father, mighty God, dear Heavenly Father, a God that protects his people, dear Heavenly Father. And we just pray for the sick and the shut in tonight, dear Heavenly Father. We just ask that you would be with those families also, dear Heavenly Father, and just give them peace at this time, dear Heavenly Father. We pray for the caregivers, ones that have the task of taking care of their loved ones tonight, dear Heavenly Father. We just ask that you would just strengthen them and be with them, dear Heavenly Father. And we just thank you for your son, Jesus, that you sent and died for our sin, that we may have a right to eternal life, dear Heavenly Father. All these things we do ask in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Good evening, everyone. As Pastor Jones mentioned, we're going to look at Hebrews this month, a few lessons. And so today we'll go ahead and get started with chapter 1. Read just three verses in chapter 1. Go ahead and get started. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. I want to say hello to everybody who's streaming with us tonight. Praise the Lord for you. Glad that you are here with us. Our scripture reads as follows. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Through him also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you this evening. We bless and magnify your holy name. Thank you, oh God, for this brief moment in history you've given us. You've called us together in your name to hear a word from you. And oh God, now open our hearts and minds so that we may receive all that you have for us. Refresh us, God, and encourage us today. Be with our brothers and sisters, oh God, who could not make it for whatever reason. We thank you again for this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Who is Christ? Why is it so important to believe in Christ? What makes Christ different from any other religious leader? I think these are legitimate questions that people ask today, and the same questions were asked by the people of whom Hebrews was written. In fact, the recipients of this book were beginning to question the superiority of Christianity to Judaism. These Christian Jews were drifting from the truth about Christ, and they were doubting their faith. They started to drift towards the act of religious performance and were attracted to Judaism. And so internally, the reality of Christ was being lost, and they were seriously considering going back to Judaism. They were going back to the good old days where they had temple worship and animal sacrifices. Doubts were creeping in into their hearts because they were facing heavy persecution, heavy social persecution from unsaved Jews. Some wondered if they had made the right choice. If they had buyer's remorse. Did I make the right decision when I became a Christian? And so now they are in danger of abandoning the faith. They felt the cost was too great to follow Christ. And perhaps they had been deceived and the message of Christ was not real. So the author of Hebrews is not recorded. But some scholars believe that it's the Apostle Paul. And he's writing to wavering Jewish believers, encouraging them to stand fast in the faith. And so the writer points out the overwhelming superiority of Christ. It's overwhelming compared to what they experience in the law. And so what is offered to them through Christ is so much better than that which was promised in the old covenant under Moses, and they should never consider turning back. And so in the book of Hebrews, especially in our lesson today, we'll see the incomparable glory of the person and work of Christ. And we'll see that Jesus is better than the prophets. And when I was reading over this lesson today, and I thought, the word better is listed a number of times in this book. Jesus is better than. He's better than. And I kept thinking about, I'm scarred because in junior high school, here I am 12, 13 years old, and full of energy, and I'm running track. We just love running track growing up. So here it is, we getting ready to run track, and everybody's pretty much on the same plane, some a little faster than the others. And then there was Alberto White. You can Google him, and when you Google him, he'll be the first name that comes up. He's had some challenges over the years, and pray for him. But Alberto White was bigger and faster and stronger than everybody else. And so here we are practicing hard for a track meet. And then the coach said, hey, listen, ain't nobody going to the track meet but Alberto. And we say, why, coach? Here we are, we a little scrawny, little 12 years old, and Alberto is every bit of 6 foot tall, 12 years old, big and strong. And coach said, I'm not taking anybody else because Alberto is better than everybody. He's better. He's a better runner. He's a better jumper. He can throw. He's just better than you. Heart's broken. Well, Alberto White grew up to be about 6'4", 265 pounds. Played for the Raiders. Played for the Rams. And he has some struggles. I talked to him some years back. And so, again, pray for him. But he was just better than us. And so here in our lesson today, we will see that Jesus is better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He's better than Moses, because this is who they staked their claim on. They were stuck in the Old Testament. They were uncomfortable. And we will see today this Bible in the book of Hebrews that he was better than Joshua in Hebrews chapter 4. Again, better than Moses in chapter 3. Better than Aaron in chapter 4 through chapter 7. He was a better hope. He was a better covenant. He was a better promise. He was a better possession. He was a better resurrection, according to chapter 11. He was a better blood promise in chapter 12. Jesus was just better than him. Nobody could compare because Jesus is God. And they had to get that right there. And so I think the writer of Hebrews nailed it. And we're going to see today in our lesson today that Jesus is just better. And so here we'll look in verse 1, we'll look at the Old Testament revelation. In the past, God spoke through the prophets. And so the first verse in chapter 1, you see the word God. The author begins Hebrews without greetings. He doesn't make any comments. But two firm beliefs. Number one, God is God. Number two, God has spoken. And so Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 reminds me of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God. There's no theory, there's no speculation, no arguments, there's no persuasion to assist the hearer in the existence of God. For the writer of Hebrews, God is central. God is foremost. He ain't trying to conjure nothing up right here. This is God, and he's real, and he's alive. In fact, God's name is used more than 68 times here in the book of Hebrews, really an average of about once every 73 words throughout this whole book. And so I believe that all of us have met someone who has said, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic. I just don't believe in God. See, their doubts and their unbeliefs, they do not affect the fact that God is. That's all day, that's every day. You're going to always find somebody who just don't believe in God. In fact, I believe it takes more effort, more energy to say I don't believe in God. Because you can't miss God. He's everywhere. He's even in us. His signature is in us. Every breath we take, it's in us. Their doubts and unbeliefs do not affect the fact that God is. And these people ignore God at their own peril and their ultimate destruction. See, unbelief looks like rationalism. But unbelief is really sin. Yeah, it looks like that. We just choose to, I'm comfortable with Buddhism. You know, my family, that's where we are. We like being Muslim. We like Islam. We rationalize and we interview God and we decide, you know what? We don't want you. We want that God over there. We waver. And ultimately, some of us make the wrong decision. But again, God has spoken. So to gain the attention of his readers, the author states that Judaism was of divine authority. Again, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God has revealed himself to and through the prophets of old. The Old Testament was inspired by God. Verse 1 says, God spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. The God of creation speaks. He's not inactive. He is not speechless. God is not deaf like the idols of the wicked. He's not as silent as the impersonal force of philosophers. God has spoken and is still speaking. A silent God is unknown. When God speaks, he's expressing or he's revealing himself. All that we can know of God is what he has revealed in his word. In fact, let's look at Romans chapter 1. This is Bible study, so Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 25 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth of unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like incorruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and their lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen." So God reveals himself in creation, but because people love their sin, they suppress the truth that God reveals. Also in Psalms 19, that first half of Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6, God is revealing, I'm not going to turn there, but again, God is revealing himself in creation. That's called general revelation. It's available to everyone, everywhere, and all the world. General revelation is limited revelation. It reveals the existence of God, but not the way to God. And then there's the second half of Psalms 19, verses 7 through 11. God reveals himself in his word, and that's known as special revelation, and then you'll see God's law. But in continuing in that verse, verse 1 in Hebrews chapter 1, God has spoken at various times or in many portions. So over the course of anywhere between 1500 to 1800 years, the Old Testament was written in 39 different books in the Bible, which included the law, the prophets, practical and history books. That's where you will see at various times. And then also in that same verse, God also spoke in various ways. He sometimes revealed himself through angels. He spoke to Moses through a burning bush and later directly on the mountain. So he revealed himself to the Israelites through fire, through an earthquake, through thunder and clouds. He spoke to Isaiah in the vision. And then Ezekiel in the vision of wheels and creatures. Sometimes God used dreams. Sometimes he used object lessons. He used natural events and other means. See, all these things are recorded, written in the word of God for our instruction. And then in that same verse, we see that in time past, he spoke to the fathers by the prophets. God who revealed truth in the Old Testament is the same God who reveals truth in the New Testament. God in the Old Testament revealed himself and his plan to the fathers or the leaders of Israel through the prophets. Most of the revelation Old Testament was by types and shadows. They prefigured Christ, who was the reality. And then in the Old Testament was good, but it pointed forward to that which was better, and that's Jesus. Old Testament pointed forward to Jesus. For us, we look back. It pointed forward for them, but I thank God that he saves all of us. And so the revelation of the Old Testament, it was preparatory. Preparatory to the final revelation of Christ himself. Everything pointed to Christ. And then the second half of that was the Old Testament revelation. Now the New Testament revelation. In verse 2, we see God in these last days has spoken to us by his Son. So the author points out that the New Testament revelation is superior to the Old Testament revelation because the New Testament revelation deals with Christ, who is the reality and the substance of the Old Testament types and shadows. The prophets who wrote about Christ, who was to come, but today we have Christ who has come. They wrote about him, his coming, but now we have him. And so we have what the Old Testament prophets long to see, long for. We have him in these last days. In fact, the word last means extreme or last in time. So this not only means that Christ fulfills the Old Testament in the last days, but that he is God's final revelation. God has completely revealed himself in Jesus Christ. There is no more revelation after Christ. Christ is the end. He is the consummation of all of God's speaking. God has spoken to us by his Son. Not just in the last days, but by his Son. So it's not so much that Jesus brought a message from the Father. He is the message from the Father. Again, Jesus is better than the prophets. The revelation from Jesus himself was unique because not only was it God's direct message, as was the case with every inspired writer, but it was also God's personality through which the message came. The personality of John, the personality of Peter, the personality of Paul and other Bible writers is clear in their writings. Also in the revelation from Jesus, we see the personality of God. If you read the book of Hebrews, for the most part, it does not present Jesus speaking of himself. The Father speaks concerning the Son. Hebrews is God the Father telling us about his Son. He's speaking about Jesus. And so the ultimate revelation of God is Christ. In Mark chapter 9, verse 7, it says, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Everyone needs to hear what the Son has to say. Everyone. He claims to be the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to know God, then we must know the Son. For some, our interest is in the Antichrist. We spend a whole lot of time looking up last and end times, focusing on the Antichrist. For some, they're still stuck in the law and Moses. And some people look and search for miracles. And there's nothing wrong with the study of that which is in the Bible. Some focus on creation. But there's nothing like the study of the Son of God. Only the knowledge of Christ can bring us to God. In fact, I'm going to read John 14:6 real quick. There's something at the tail end of that I want to look at. We know that as the verse says that he's the way, the truth, and the life. But what does the end of that have to say? Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Only knowledge of Christ can bring us to God. And then later on in verse 2, and again, chapter 1 in Hebrews, it says, "Whom he has appointed heir of all things." So Jesus not only qualifies to be the supreme revealer of the truth because his revelation is superior to the Old Testament prophets, but because of his person and his work is superior to that of the Old Testament prophets. So tonight, let's look at seven profound phrases that reveal the supremacy of God's Son. The first one is, Christ is God's appointed heir. Again in verse 2, whom he has appointed heir of all things. The Father has bestowed the domain of the universe upon his Son, Jesus Christ. All that God is belongs to Christ. As the eternal Son, Christ is eternal heir. So one could not be appointed heir of all things and not be co-equal with God. He is God. Christ is heir. He owns everything that God owns. Therefore, he must be equal with God in all things. He is appointed heir. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, if you have your Bibles, turn with me. As the old preachers would say, I got Bible. Matthew 11, verse 27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Psalm chapter 2. Psalm has no chapters. Psalms 2. Psalms 2, verses 7 and 8. I got a few verses here. Psalms 2, 7 and 8. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Christ is God's appointed heir. One more, Romans 8. Romans 8, 16 and 17. Romans 8, verses 16 and 17 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We are joint heirs with Christ, and one day we will inherit all that belongs to Christ. Christ is God's appointed heir. Number two, Christ is creator. Verse 2 again, through whom also he made the worlds. The word worlds also means ages. Here it refers to the whole created universe of space and time. It means that Christ is Lord over time and all that has been created in time because he created it. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 3. All things are made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And then Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And I got one more, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Verse 15 and 16, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Christ is creator. As creator, Christ is superior to the Old Testament prophets. Then number three, Christ is the radiance of God. Verse 3 says, who being the brightness of his glory. The word brightness right here comes from a word that means effulgence. It means to shine forth. Christ does not reflect God. He shines forth as intrinsic light because he is God. I know for years they say, well, he's a reflection of the Father. Now, I can see why people will say that right there, but Christ has his own glory. He is the radiance of God. Light shines from him. In fact, John chapter 1 and verse 14 speaks about this. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Amen. I got one more today. Amen. We moving today. We all right today? Hey, we having Bible study. Amen. John 14. And verse 9, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Christ is the radiance of God. He is the brightness of his glory. Then number four, Christ is the substance of God. The verse says he is the express image of his person. The word, the phrase express image means to mark or press with a tool. The word was used when an artist wanted to make a mold of something. He would take an original object and he would press it into wax or plaster to get an exact image of the original. The word person means substance. Christ in his very nature is the substance of God. Therefore, Christ is God. And so you see what the writer of Hebrews is doing here. He wants these people to know that Jesus is God and he is better than the prophets of whom they held in high regard so long. In fact, John chapter 10 and verse 30 says, I and my Father are one. Let's look at number five. Christ is the sustainer. Verse 3 says, upholding all things by the word of his power. The word upholding means to carry along and refers to movement or progress towards a definite goal. And so Christ is managing and governing all things in God's program to an appointed end. It's the reason why we have a cosmos and not a chaos. The alignment of the planets and its orbit and gravity. It's the reason why we don't just fly off in the air. Scientifically, they call it gravity, but it's the hand of God. God is upholding all things. It's Christ. It is the sustenance of human beings. Our heart beats all day and all night. And I know there's a medical and biological answer to it, but it's God upholding all things. And when God says time's up, he removes his hand and say, come home. It is God who is upholding all things by the word of his power. A raindrop that falls is under God's control. A snowflake. A gust of wind does not happen by accident under God's economy. A lightning bolt. We just seen a whole bunch of lightning bolts outside on our way here. There is not one rogue lightning bolt. It was ordained by God. He is under full control. He is upholding all of that. The roll of the dice, believe it or not, is God. Check out Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33. God is in control of all of that. The reason why you ain't win, because he ain't let you win. Believe it or not, he is under full control. Have you ever been trying to do something? I've been beating my head trying to get through this door, and it won't open. Because God is in full control of our lives, whether you know it or not. Some of us been trying to be millionaires for I don't know how. God said no. If you're still alive, keep trying. And when you get there, don't forget about me. Praise the Lord. And so the verse that goes with that for me here is Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. We're talking about God. We're talking about God who is in control. So stop worrying about your family members. Stop worrying about this and that. How is this going to work? Oh, I wonder how my baby doing, my grandkids, my nieces, nephews, my sister and brother. Stop worrying about all that stuff. God is in control. Hallelujah. Amen. And so number six tonight. Christ is Redeemer. Verse 3 says, he purged our sins. Christ, who upholds all things by the word of his power, cleansed our sins. Now, the Almighty Savior, he could have said, man, you know, they're sinners. They're damned. They're doomed. Let me just remove let me allow their molecules to just fly off in outer space. Let me allow them to disintegrate. Because they ain't no good anyway. They're unworthy. They've sinned against me. But you know what? He doesn't do that. Instead, he left the glory of heaven. The great and awesome God. He left heaven. He took on human stinky flesh. The rags of humanity. Became a bondservant. Became obedient to death on the cross. Even to death on the cross. This great God who holds everything together had us in mind. He said, man, let me come down here because Abraham is a sinner. Let me come down here because David don't have enough. Let me get down here because Moses just don't have it. I need to come myself. And he came in flesh. He condescended and he died and he was resurrected and now he lives forevermore for you and for me. The great God who upholds all things. That's my God. John chapter 6, verse 38. I'm going to get out your way in a little bit. John 6 and 38 and 39. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. He's talking about you and me. He ain't lose nobody. He ain't gonna lose nobody. Christ is better than the prophets. Ain't no prophet going down the cross. Ain't no prophet need to come down from heaven. They're already here. Christ is better than the prophets. The author of Hebrews nails it. Jesus is better than everybody else. And number seven, Christ is king. Verse 3 in Hebrews chapter 1, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Men rejected Christ. They put him on the cross. But God put him on a throne and gave him a name that's above every name. Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. Christ's ascension to the throne proved that God was well pleased and accepted his death for sinners. So when Christ sat down, it indicated that his work for sin was final, that it was complete, it was finished. Christ is king. and he reigns and he rules forever. He is our conquering king. And I got Bible for you tonight, Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Christ is king. I got one more. Christ is king. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Christ is King. As the writer of Hebrews puts it, and again, he wanted to nail it, he got it right too. And not only is this message relevant for this time, but now, even now, people need to hear this message, because there's so many options today. I mean, you got your choice of the God that you want to serve. You go on the internet, boy, they got a group for you. You like to wear your hair red, they got the red hair people. Everybody on this side right here got everything green. Green cars, green shoes. They got a group for you. And they want you to be a part of their group. And they got a religion for they got gods you and me ain't never heard of. People looking around trying to find the right God. But you know what? As I said on Sunday, you and me, we got the power. All authority has been given to me. Yeah. Go. That's us. You ain't got to be intimidated by nobody. I don't care. Man, listen, I don't care if they're a politician. I don't care if they're a CEO. You and I, we have the power. People are just waiting for us to open our mouth and say something. People want to be saved. They don't even know it. They need to hear the word of God. That's why I love the Great Commission, because, you know, we don't just get saved, okay, you know, you guys good to go, you know. Reach back and pull somebody with you. You have no idea if you just open your mouth and say something. Somebody needs to hear what we got. Now, as I look out here, man, y'all some seasoned folks. We know the word of God, and I'm not putting the pressure on nobody. But again, I need encouragement too. We all have to share the gospel. And again, there are people who are wavering, people who need to hear the truth. And I think that God has, he's commissioned all of us. He's given us the power, as I mentioned, that the gospel is like spiritual dynamite. And you just speak to folks, man, and you'll be surprised. I had a number of testimonies just talking to people, and you never know what somebody is spiritually. You don't know what's going on in someone's life. I've been there different times, and just talking to people about different things, and somebody hear what I say, they think, what was that? And you talk to people, and people will make a profession of faith. Sometimes it's planting, sometimes it's watering, but we know that God gets the increase. Again, thank God for our lesson tonight. Jesus is better than the prophets, and verses 4 through 14 talks about he's better than the angels. But throughout the whole book, we see that Jesus is better than anything else that the Old Testament had to offer, whether it was Moses, whether it was the law. Jesus is God, and he is a better revelation, a better resurrection, a better promise. Amen. Anybody got anything they want to say? Any comments? We are good to go. Amen. We ready to go home. Amen. It's all good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for Jesus, who is God. He is better than the prophets. He's a better hope. He's a better resurrection, a better promise. And it is through his finished work on the cross, oh God, that our sins have been purged. God, thank you, Lord, that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Christ, committed to Christ. And if it's committed to Christ, then it has been committed to us. And my prayer is that we will share it with those who are lost. It's good to be here tonight, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the insight into the Savior. Bless my brothers and sisters who are present, those who are streaming. Watch over us tonight, God. Give us traveling mercies. Be with us continuously, Lord, those who are sick and shut in, caregivers, those who have lost loved ones, pastors.